I call this meeting to order. So, secretary will do the roll here. We have a quorum.
Yeah, we don't need to do that if we're all in person.
Yeah. Okay, are there any corrections to the minutes?
Let me see.
Is there public comment?
Oh, wait.
I don't think there's public comment, but yeah.
Oh, no, I'm looking at a different. Okay, is there any public comment? Are there any comments from library unions? No. Are there any comments from Board of Library Trustees? I have to put these on my cheat sheet.
No, 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 me.
Okay, well, I will just say, again, I appreciate the library. I am really glad that we had the opportunity to share with the city council and the mayor and the city attorney and the city clerk and all of them that we were able to give a report because this is the first report that's happened in quite a while. We were able to talk about the progress that we've made, how we were able to serve the city during the pandemic in really creative ways, and then how we have moved through the pandemic and that we have Sunday hours, which means we're open 7 days a week. So I was really, really proud of us. And I just want to say that. Great report, you know, put it together, great report. I'm really glad that we were able to share with the community what we are doing. So that's my comment.
Can I add that I was just very, I agree, and I was very proud. Mm-hmm. I was kind of whispering to everyone around me, like, I'm a library trustee.
Yeah.
It was good.
And I haven't looked at the video. I'll have to look at it. But, yeah, I thought I can check that off of my own list for the Board of Library Trustees. We have done that. And I'm, again, really glad that we could say thank you, and we are now open 7 days a week. Okay? So that is a wonderful thing. Okay, so are there any comments to any changes to the minutes?
No.
Okay, so can I get a, okay, the other thing is, does anyone want to pull anything off of consent? Okay.
No.
Okay. So with that, can I get a motion to move the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
That will be you. Okay. We can do that, do this really quick. Okay, so let's move to information reports, the staff training report.
Thank you. I just want to check in with the team here. Did we pull up the YouTube video, or do you think it's...
It should be okay when you get to that slide. There's a, like,
okay.
A link.
Well, we have a video embedded, so I just wanted...
Good luck.
And it's actually a very helpful video to watch. It provides a good overview. So what I wanted to share with you... Wow! Perfect timing.
Oh, wow,
welcome,
thank you.
Engineer.
Okay, she made it.
So, we have been focused on training for the past several years. We've been focused on trying to build the capacity of our staff, really to deliver on our mission. And I felt that it would be very helpful to provide a more in-depth overview of the way in which we're approaching this and give you an opportunity to engage and ask questions, because it's actually fairly intensive, the training program that we've been building for the library. And it really starts with our strategic planning process. So some of you might remember, in summer of 2023, we were holding focus groups with the staff specifically around their experience of the organization, what they wanted to see, developed further, what kind of support they needed, what kind of direction they thought we needed to go in. This was in addition to all of the public engagement that we did around the strategic plan. So we had staff focus groups at every location. We also had, I think, a couple of separate online meetings for people that missed their focus group at their location. And that's why when you look at our strategic focus areas from our strategic plan, this bottom one, number three, the focus area of a dynamic and responsive service organization is very internally focused. So we've been doing a lot of work in terms of staff development and trying to address different goals. And you can see that we've got five goals outlined that are associated with this focus area number three. And of course, the training goal, ensuring that we actually have a sort of clear and well-defined training program for each classification basically is very clearly outlined. As is culture, we think that training is a really significant part of building an organizational culture. And it basically shows up everywhere. It shows up in terms of onboarding, the experience that people have when they join the organization. So you can see from just this overview that training actually informs our strategic plan in a number of different ways. But we've been working on a couple of more specific goals for the first year of our strategic plan rollout. One of them is to create a more comprehensive onboarding program for new employees to the library. That's been something that people really articulated was important. And we've already begun to make changes with respect to how onboarding works, but our goal is to have a sort of comprehensive package that is very clearly defined, that everyone understands, specifically what it is. And then we've also committed to creating training checklists for each classification. So this is something that a lot of organizations, you might take for granted, that when someone comes into a new position, there's very clearly defined learning goals associated with the role. That's not something that actually has existed at Berkeley Public Library. And of course, understandably, we got a lot of feedback about that. And so our circulation manager, Rudy Thapia, has been very focused on working with the rest of our supervising library assistants to create checklists for the first two of the classifications we're working on, which are aide and library assistant, and those are the entry-level classifications. So this is a big graphic, and what we were trying to show here was the way that we are thinking about training as it applies to the library system. And so I kind of want to talk about each of these components and what we mean by each of these things. And is everyone able to see this? Just like the glare?
I'm able to see.
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
So basically, at this time, when staff become new employees of the City of Berkeley, they actually attend a full day orientation that takes place at 2180, which is sort of main headquarters of the city. There are a couple of central headquarters for city employees. And so library employees are part of this orientation. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about what that represents in a minute. We also have over here our library orientation, which we're in the process of developing. That's really the onboarding to the library. We've been providing a lot of supervisory training, which is something that, again, hasn't traditionally been a very strong training program, and I think that it's actually incredibly important when you look at employee experience and the reasons why people leave organizations. The turnover is frequently because they're maybe not having a positive experience in that supervisory relationship. I talked a little bit about the classification training checklist, so looking at each job and communicating clearly of what each person needs to know how to do in that job. We also have what I would describe as equity and social justice work that we've been doing on an ongoing basis. So this is the racial equity training, But I'm going to kind of share with you some of the other types of trainings that we've been doing. There's also individual development opportunities. So people have opportunities either with their supervisor or independently. They have the chance to just identify particular trainings that might be helpful to them on their career pathway. And then we also have safety and de-escalation. And I'm gonna take a sip of water because that was a mouthful. So you can see that this actually represents a pretty large body of work. And I'm pretty impressed with the way that our team has pulled together to coordinate different aspects of this training. So for example, we have DIA, Penning, our equity, inclusion, diversity program manager who's been coordinating a lot of the equity social justice training. We have Mai, who has been really, I think, developing a lot of the supervisory training. We work with outside vendors. I remember Henry coordinated the active shooter training that we did on site. So we sort of all pitch in to really to try to achieve a robust suite of training for the staff. So to talk a little bit about the new employee orientation at the city, this really covers a lot of information about the city and its structure, and also a lot of nuts and bolts information like how people understand, you know, getting paid, their benefits, the stuff that's very critical that people really need to know immediately when they start working someplace. There's also an overview of city policies, which also applies to library staff, resources for employees, and the different labor unions have, I think it's half an hour under the different contracts to meet with staff just to explain how the union works. They talk a lot about the city structure. So there's sort of a lot there. And then on the same day, all of the staff complete in the afternoon some online trainings. And this is both library people and then the people that work at the other departments. That includes an online active shooter training, violence prevention, harassment prevention, as well as, I believe it's 4 different ethics modules. I think that's a lot of online training for a 4-hour block, but it's kind of nice when people come into the organization, we know that they have that baseline of training now. And the other thing that we do is refreshers. So all of us need to refresh these trainings on an either annual or biannual basis. So for example, I too am actually overdue for completing my refresher trainings in all of these. We also have a mandated reporter training that's required of some classifications in the library. And the mandated reporter trainings are actually several hours long, I think, for supervisors. They're very extensive. So as we develop our library orientation, we want to kind of share a little bit more about what's different about the library's piece. We do need to talk about our mission, vision, and values. So it's important that everyone understands the city's strategic plan and mission, and they need to understand the library's mission. We also really need to talk with people about privacy. So whether that be patron data, whether that be, you know, sharing information at the checkout desk about what someone's checking out. It's really important for us to convey that early to employees because I think that there are a lot of people that come to the library from other fields, which is really great, but they just don't know about some of these things. And sometimes they do not know about intellectual freedom and the anti-censorship stance that the library takes. And that can be kind of uncomfortable for a staff member that may have made assumptions upon joining the library to discover that you know, we're not looking at what somebody is checking out. And for some folks, if they don't have that grounding, that can be really surprising. So we think that it's important to introduce that up front. We want to talk more about our department and all of the different functions. You know, how do we circulate books? how do we handle the circulation of materials amongst the branches? How do we select the books? There's so many operational questions that new staff have about just the basics of how stuff works. And I think it's very important because they're going to get asked these types of questions by members of the public, probably from like as soon as they're on a service desk. We also need to do a lot with respect to emergency procedures, making sure that people understand, you know, from day one, where the emergency exits are, how do they evacuate. So there's very site-specific information that we need to cover with people that needs to be done like at whatever of the five locations they're working at. And these are just a few examples. I think that there's actually a significant amount more that I'm not getting into in the moment. And what we're doing is working with staff to prioritize the content for the orientation. So I want to talk a little bit about our history with doing racial equity training. And some of you have already sort of heard this information, so I appreciate everyone's patience in this review. What you're actually seeing up in this picture is our first racial equity training that we did that was sort of required of all staff, and it was also our first in-person training after several years of the closure. And that was in September of 2020. We contracted with Dr. Lori Watson's firm, Racework, to do the training. And I believe that they were all-day trainings. I'm pretty sure that...
Couple hours.
Yeah, because I know that the one that... that some members of the board attended, I think that was the all-day one. And so then Dr. Watson continued to work with our system. She held some more in-depth workshops later that year. She also created the space for affinity group meetings. If staff wanted to join affinity groups, they were welcome to do that. And then we came back and did a sort of shorter revised training with Dr. Watson in 2024. Then Dia, who I'd mentioned earlier, was able to work with Mia Henry to contract for the Justice at Work training, which is it's an interesting training. It's an online module, but it's very interactive. And then there are kind of in-person sessions that people have to dialogue about the content. And this is basically meant to be paced over 3 months. And so we did this, I guess, toward the end of last year and then into this year. So first we had the supervisors go through this training, and then we had all of the staff complete this training as well. And this one was mandatory. And what we'll do moving forward as part of our new employee orientation is have everybody go through this 3-month training and have check-ins with Dia sort of to discuss their learning journey as they go through the training. I have this little picture here of the RJAG staff reads. First of all, I just want to thank the friends, because the Friends of BPL actually provided funding to purchase books. And you can see here, this book is The Some of Us by Heather McGee. And so we have a lot of kind of informal educational opportunities too. And I think that for some people, those opportunities have been the most meaningful because people learn in different ways. And we have these discussion groups, basically, amongst our staff, where they pick a title and then everyone who wants to participate can read the same book and discuss it with other staff. And then they invite the author to come and do some sort of presentation. And I believe that we've had now three of these programs. They've been with very different books. I actually don't know what the next book is. But I'm excited because the staff are talking about using some all-staff meeting time to actually do some book discussion, so I think it's going to be really interesting. So this is another way that people learn, is through these informal drop-ins, discussions, and, you know, actually talking about books that approach the topic of race from many different angles. And part of the intent is just to really normalize and help people become comfortable talking about race at work. So more briefly, just gonna run through. There really has been a lot of training over the past couple of years. We just did, or DIA just coordinated, restorative justice training. I also want to point out that we'll be doing more disability awareness training in 2025. And we've already had one training with TACT, Trans Advocacy and Care. And this training is around sort of teaching people about gender as well as sexual orientation and identity so that people have a vocabulary, so that they feel confident, understand vocabulary to use around all of that stuff. So I mentioned that people attend conferences. We've worked really hard to make sure that staff of all classifications feel welcome applying to attend a conference. And we can't fund, obviously, everybody who's interested in attending a national conference every time. But we try very hard to get a diversity just in terms of the locations they represent, the jobs they have, and make sure that people have a chance, especially if they're on a committee or, you know, if they were going to be presenting at a conference. In the library community, I think these opportunities are really important ways that people sort of network and make informal connections. And you can see that there have been, I guess, 7 national conferences that staff attended over the past year, as well as 3 local conferences. And that includes the California Library Association conference, where we sent, I think, probably, let's see here, eight people. Yeah. The Public Library Association is every 2 years, and I think this was in Columbus, and we had 6 people go. So we're really trying to invest in this because it's a really good way for people to get a lot of information and learn about the field in a short amount of time. Can someone help me bring this back to the other format? Okay. Oh my goodness. And again, between 2020 and 2023, people attended a lot of different conferences, but remember that a lot of those were online, and that was somewhat easier to facilitate at that. We started to get people kind of coming back in person in 2022. We were able to send 3 staff to the Joint Conference of Librarians of Color. You don't have to be a librarian to go to this conference. And this, there's a story here, it actually got rescheduled because there was a hurricane, so it was a bizarre situation, but eventually it happened in 2023. So I'll try to run through some of the supervisory training more quickly because we recently reviewed that at a different meeting. But Maya has been working on developing training that's very tailored to our supervisors at the library. She really took a lot of feedback from people and tried to develop things that addressed what people were asking for and also what staff were asking for. So obviously, the hiring process for us has been very important because getting back to our regular staffing level took a lot of investment from all of the hiring managers. Performance management, effective feedback, also important. Employee relations training, making sure that people understood sort of our obligations and, you know, the way that we need to work with people, particularly with a collective bargaining agreement in place. Or I should say 3 in the case of the library. Staff were very invested in interview preparation support, so they took that one on the road, 5 different locations. We have another couple of trainings coming up, shared power and supervision. That's sort of a supervision with an equity lens, and then also strengthening leadership through effective feedback and conflict resolution. So another training that's supposed to really help people facilitate giving and receiving feedback, as well as just working with people and their teams, and you know, managing conflict, because I think that's a skill that's actually probably not as highlighted sometimes in sort of basic supervisory training, but I think it's incredibly important, and it's just it's something that people need to be prepared how to manage. In terms of safety and violence prevention, so we've actually been very focused on this over the past couple of years, and this initially, I think when we were first in an online training environment, we did a lot of smaller trainings targeted at situations that people said were coming up. So there was a lot of tension in the library when the buildings first reopened around masking and masking requirements and tension amongst, you know, people in the library around this, as well as people just getting back to being in an in-person environment. And so we did a lot of work around bystander training, de-escalation, implicit bias, and microaggression training to sort of help staff support each other when they were having a challenging interaction, you know, with a member of the public. We also have what we call the patron incident tracking system. So we have a software product called PITS. And actually, it's the same product a lot of libraries in the region use. And it helps people and helps staff communicate about different things that have happened. It's an important communication tool for us to document things that have happened and communicate, particularly when there's a threat of violence or something like that. This is a small town, people travel around, it's important for people to be informed of some of the things that happen. And Dia and Heather Cummins, one of our supervisors, do a training for staff where they talk about what is an appropriate way to talk about incidents, what is appropriate language to use to share something that happened, to describe people. And also just make sure that everyone understands how the system works. And so that's something that we've been doing on an ongoing basis. We had in-person active shooter training in every location in 2023, and then we have the online training as part of the city's orientation. We will bring the in-person training back, but it's very complicated logistically, so we have to decide how frequently we're going to do that one. It's also sort of very emotionally impactful for some staff, and so we're always trying to balance the experience of doing the training with the need to do the training. But I think it's a very important training for us to do in a public building. We've also had heat wave training with our emergency operations team at the city. So they've actually come and done in-person training to help us manage those high intensity heat events that happen sometimes in the city. We also do evacuation drills, and there's a need for us to roll evacuation drills out to all the branches, which is still something that needs to be done. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our upcoming comprehensive safety and anti-violence training. This one is very important. It's going to be delivered by a vendor called PAVE, which stands for Proactive Anti-Violence Education. And this is going to be a multi-day training that everyone will participate in, doesn't matter what your job is. you could be public-facing, you could be non-public facing, everyone is going to do this. It's actually, I think, 4 days of training, and we're going to be training in 4 cohorts of staff. And the purpose of this is to make sure that everyone understands the approach, has a shared vocabulary around the approach, and feels more confident in terms of the strategies that they share with us to de-escalate and also manage violent incidents when they occur. and also debrief after a situation occurs. So, whoops. So before I kind of get into this, or before I press play, I just want to explain one more thing. I just want to honor our colleagues over at the Alameda County Library System. So there's been several years where all of us that work in library leadership have been talking about which vendors are the most effective in delivering safety training. It's specific to the library context, and you know, we bring different people in and you know, it's effective in some ways, maybe ineffective in other ways. And so Alameda County decided to take a different approach. They identified PAVE as a vendor, and they felt that they had the components that they needed, and they worked with the vendor to customize the training for libraries. And so now a lot of different systems are exploring working with PAVE specifically, because they've really gone to a lot of time and effort to make the training very directly relevant to library staff. So basically what they do is they take actual incidents that have occurred in that library system, and they use those to create the scenarios that they then will be training us on. So I'm gonna just share this video, we'll see if it works, it's exciting. Because I actually think that it's a very good overview of what we can expect from the training. It looks like. So we're going to try to go directly to the YouTube site.
The sound was off.
What?
Yeah, the sound was off.
Oh,
in the actual
monitor.
Yeah.
So we can try it in here again.
There's supposed to be sound in those opening graphics?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably what we should do is like open the...
Oh, they all have remote.
I think maybe if we open the website, the PAVE website, then we can just play the training from the website. So I'm gonna actually move forward while you all troubleshoot that. The last focus area that I wanted to talk about was just the individual development track. And I had some examples on the slide of the different types of courses that people have signed up for. And it's everything from, you know, someone wanting to take a supervisory skills workshop, someone who's interested in moving into that kind of position. I saw Python for librarians, so somebody doing programming language. There's also stuff that people need to learn who do things like cataloging. They take very specialized classes. Our IT staff need to stay up on their professional expertise. So we really encourage supervisors to work with people individually to figure out what would actually help them in terms of their learning goals and their professional development and where they want to get to. Not everyone actually is interested in promotional pathway, but we sort of want to work with supervisors to make sure that they understand whatever the person's goals are, that they're finding ways of supporting them, and that they're kind of engaging in continuous learning. So I think we were talking actually at an earlier meeting about how the Berkeley Public Library System might be impacted by reductions in IMLS budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about the fact that for us, probably the most concrete way that we would be affected is through these trainings, actually. Because the library community does a very good job of developing and delivering training for itself. And there's any number of trainings that I can think of that are funded indirectly from IMLS funds that get administered through the state library that actually provide learning opportunities for people. I think the ones I mentioned having seen most recently was like multilingual service, like what are best practices in providing multilingual library service. That was a training that was offered. There was a training offered last month about AI. It was sort of an applied workshop where you could come and learn sort of like play in the sandbox and understand better how to apply AI professionally. So there's really wide range of stuff that people do, and I can't really generalize. But I do think it's pretty valuable in terms of just how... I think it's important just in terms of how people see themselves and how they continue to grow. Maybe we should... Oh, wow, you got to...
One of the things that people may not realize is that library staff, everything from a page up to a library manager, are dealing with what we kind of call social worker light situations. There are often incidents where our staff has to intervene or has to talk to somebody about what their behavior is in the library because it's impacting other members.
Hey.
So I sit here, so I'm gonna join you.
Yeah, I've got some friends coming, so.
Your friends coming? They run away or something?
You know what? You're making me really uncomfortable. She said she was uncomfortable. Could you please leave?
What Paige has done is helped to train my team at the library on trauma-informed, racial equity-based de-escalation. This is something that libraries have needed for a long time, and we have struggled with the back side of libraries. We're a public place, so everything that exists in the public exists in our spaces.
Hey! Back off!
Khakis, black jackets, protein. I have a video of it for you.
Yes, I do like this. Yes. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
And so we needed to make sure that our libraries came back full-fledged from COVID, active and alive as they were before, because we're a public need, we're a public necessity. And so that's truly why we wanted to have Paige come and talk to our staff.
Ways that I can apply this to the work I do. It makes me think of all these other things that we can do to kind of build this foundation of having nonviolent communities.
When I first started, I had like no idea what to expect. And when I heard that word role playing, I like freaked out. But I'm actually very thankful because, you know, you guys made this such a comfortable place.
I've had the training, and now it's just a matter about being intentional in how I will apply these, and more importantly, when I will apply what I've learned.
The trainers for PAVE were amazing. They not only came to us with a curriculum developed, they did a physical assessment of every location so they knew what we were dealing with physically. And then throughout each cohort, there would be slight changes that they made to the curriculum based on the needs of the people in the room. So So that kind of flexibility and meeting our needs was one of the most satisfying parts of working with Paige.
Smooth jazz after that.
Right.
Fair.
And that music was so terrible.
Yes. So it is sort of. So that was sort of dramatic. But what I really appreciated was recently at one of our Bayless meetings, which is our Bay Area Directors Consortium meetings. This same person, Deb Sika, that you saw in the video, was sharing that the staff actually had to apply the training really quickly because there was a situation in one of their locations where there was a conflict that became violent between two members of the public, and one of the people actually pulled out pepper spray or some kind of substance, and so it became even more heightened. And she was just talking about the way that people actually did default to the training, which is really what you want to have happen, that people, even though it's scary and unanticipated, you want to have that muscle memory so that people sort of know what to do. It's sort of like, I always stand like this, and my kids make fun of me because they're like, why? Why are you? And this is like something I learned in a de-escalation training for libraries years ago, but it's a safety position that you can use that's both de-escalating with members of the public, but also sort of puts you in a position to defend yourself if something is threatening in some way. It allows you to escape, and it also allows you to defend yourself, but when your hands are down, it's de-escalating, right? And so a lot of the time when I'm talking with a member of the public, I might just stand like that just out of habit because it got drilled into me. So that's a sort of silly example, but we really want people to feel like they're all kind of thinking about things and approaching them the same way. You know, it's a whole system that we'll be training on. So I'm looking forward to just sharing feedback with you about how that works and the types of feedback we have, but I included in the packet the report from the Alameda County system because it just shows, I think it really points to the efficacy of the training. Like, you can see the individual cohorts of the people who participated in each of the groups, just how much they learned or how much they self-reported they learned, which I think is really impressive actually. I already spoke about individual learning, and that concludes the presentation. I did want to ask whether you have questions on anything more generally or more specifically.
Well, I'm glad that that training has been made available to the staff.
Good question. This is a while ago, so I can't remember if you addressed this, but I think I remember you saying that this sort of training revamp was like a response to like a turnover, a concern about turnover and staffing. Did you say that, or is this, or that was a concern you had?
The library will close in 30 minutes.
Like, I guess my question is are employees satisfied, and do you have any reason to worry about them leaving?
I'm trying to remember what the comment might have been. No, I think there was a comment just more generally about why it's important to have supervisors who are well trained, but it wasn't in reference to the library specifically.
Okay, so there's no, that's not a big turnover problem.
No, I think that if anything, what we're just seeing is people promoting into positions, so we're kind of constantly recruiting for our aide positions and our assistant positions. So I'll talk about in the director's report, but we just completed, or in the process of completing, a library assistant recruitment where we are introducing five people in, but most of those are vacant due to promotions.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And there was the creation of two positions, mm-hmm. I think, in the beginning of this year or toward the end of last year.
Great.
I don't have my packet with me, so I can't reference the pages, but there were survey results at the end.
Yes.
Of, and those were in reference to which trainings?
That was the Alameda County's PAVE experience.
Okay, so not specific to us. So these were just examples of the difference between
the
before and after.
The before and after reporting from people that participated in that training. And we'll get a similar report, I would imagine, and then, you know, we'll be able to drill down, better understand, like, are there things that we need to go back and, you know, sort of work on further? There was a reference to the fact that, so basically the way the methodology works is after everyone gets trained, there's a group of people that get trained as sort of the stewards, the sort of like holders of the training and the culture of the training, so that they're available then to do more ongoing training. And they use that opportunity with the stewards, and I might be misremembering the name, to really kind of drill down into areas that people just wanted more support with.
Okay. So will our library staff then, will we have a pre and a post comparison also to look at eventually too?
Yeah, I believe that we can expect the same kind of data.
Super interesting.
I think it's pretty impressive, and the rate of return for the survey is also impressive. Like, that's a higher rate of return than you would usually get, I think, for something like this.
Yeah. Okay. No, then I look forward to seeing the results.
I do want to clarify one thing, Council Member O'Keefe, that during the closure and sort of in 2019, the library was already short a large number of positions due to retirements mostly. So it was very hard for the department, because then moving into the closure, when additional people left, we did have a very high vacancy rate, like a lot of the departments did at that time, because we were sort of starting in a deficit, and then it just got worse for a year or two, and then we were having to rebuild really rapidly, which is a common story, I think, across all of the departments.
And hard to recruit people who have their pick of the job market. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But you're able to, sounds like you're able to staff all the positions. It's great.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Just leave this here. Don't. So I'll just mention a couple of things for the director's report. I don't want to go into a lot of detail, but I do want to mention something fun that is coming up and acknowledge the Friends of the Library for kind of being our sponsor for Library Night at Oracle Park, which is that Giants Stadium? I don't want to get it wrong. Okay. Still like sorting out my stadiums. And so it's really cool. Like, basically, the stadium is having a library night on April 7th. And they're going to have a little resource fair before the game where all the different systems who want to can do outreach. And thanks to Amy Reeder, we're going to be coordinating a presence. And I don't know if the Friends are physically going to be there or not. I can't remember if we discussed that, but...
Well, we did send the notice around, and I don't
spirit.
Know whether anyone but myself has signed up.
But it's very cool,
because
it's a fundraiser, and so $10 from each ticket will go back to the Friends, correct? And
that's what I understand.
And I think there are going to be little messages sort of in the arena or
the
stadium at different times. So I think it's really, I want to credit our colleagues at San Francisco Public Library, because I think they really initiated this outreach, but then they extended the opportunity to all of us, which is wonderful. I also just want to mention April, National Poetry Month.
Sure.
And we have a wonderful event coming up on April 7th at the Central Library. So Berkeley's current poet laureate, Ana de Leon is going to present with our two new 2025 Youth Poet Laureates. And it's just going to be a showcase of poetry, and I think it's always exciting when you get somebody who's sort of a veteran helping mentor youth in something like this. So we're just excited to be hosting that program.
I do see that April 7th they're playing the Reds. Mm-hmm. And Ellie Del Cruz.
Who's the Reds?
In Cincinnati.
Are you a baseball person too?
I'm a huge baseball person.
Oh no, what's that?
My team is undefeated, unfortunately,
who is
for
your
all
team?
Of you.
Who is your team? Sorry, we're not supposed to ask that.
The Padres.
Oh, oh yeah.
From San Diego, so.
I saw them when I was a kid. Along with my team, which was the Dodgers.
Yeah. So also undefeated. Don't tell them. Don't tell these people this story.
I'm never going to change. National Library Week coming up April 6th to the 12th. I really want to acknowledge Councilmember O'Keefe, your staff, as well as Mayor Ishii's staff helped us. And we were able to coordinate a proclamation for National Library Week, and I have these really charming bookmarks that I'll pass around. And it's just a nice way to remember. We also, the Tuesday of that week is also National Library Workers Day, where we generally do some kind of staff appreciation as well, and encourage people to thank their local library staff person. And that concludes my report.
Does anyone have any comments or questions? You know, let's bring the proclamation to the next vote meeting.
It's got all the whereas.
Yes.
So those things are fun.
It's an extensive one.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there any items that people would like to add to the next agenda?
If I might, so May is usually the month where we have to set the tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
Based on either the CPI or the PIG, and so we rescheduled our May meeting for the 21st to allow us time to get that information so that we would be able to take care of that in one meeting in May, so we're feeling hopeful that we can do that. And you would just have a brief presentation and discussion about that. We're also still waiting for confirmation about the way that the new tax revenue will be coming to the library. There are just some outstanding questions about how the county is going to handle that, and I just want to acknowledge our finance manager, Nika Gallarede, who's been working on communicating with both people in the city as well as the county to coordinate that. We will not be setting the tax rate for that fund at this meeting because it will not have been in place yet. It's its first year. So we'll only be doing the one fund.
I just want to triple confirm. So there's no meeting on May 7th. That it's been moved completely to May 21st, correct?
Yes, it's been combined.
Combined, and
yes.
Yes, okay. I just want to make sure I have my calendar right,
yes.
Which I do. Thank you.
I just wanted to, again, look at it.
No.
Yes, that's
yeah,
correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just stare at our calendars and say anything out loud.
Any other items to add to the agenda? So we are looking forward to the conference with a purpose. Those of us who are attending, May the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right. It'll be that week.
It's already coming.
Pardon me?
It's here almost. It's almost here.
Ontario, I know. It's
yes.
Wow.
Surprising.
I saw the dinner thing.
Yeah, I think we should do
yeah.
That. And again, I'll just say this is such an important time, and we need to be armed with everything that we can, given what is going on in Washington, D.C. So this will be a good opportunity for us to get armed with some tools, and then also in the future at the California Library Association meeting in October.
Mm-hmm. Riverside.
Riverside. Okay, well, if there are no other items for the agenda, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Tanir is a first.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, thank you.
Careful.